You're listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first and best webcomics podcast on the planet, and confirmation that, yeah, your mom could have been a badass motorcycle-riding superhero. I am your host, and I am really, really bad at this whole keeping up appearances and maintaining a secret identity thing. I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is oblivious to most everything his wife does, and his facial hair is stupid. He is Steve the Geek Shinny.
I'm sorry, I should have told you I was going to shave this week.
It doesn't set things up nicely because this is not a video podcast, but it was funny that you shaved your usual beard goatee thing off the same week I'm going to make fun of this guy's dumb facial hair. So you get a pass.
Yeah. And you obviously are really bad at keeping your secret identity because you've been Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler, for 12 years now.
Yeah, it's right there in the name. It's not hard to find, people. I'm in the phone book.
So all you people at that college still wondering who put those cartoons out 20 plus years ago, this guy.
I have no idea what episode of the podcast that is, but yes, there is a backstory to that silly name. So if you care to listen to it, it's somewhere back there in the archives, but it's a dumb college thing. I would love to find somebody one day and be like, whoa, I knew that name. But no, that's not going to happen. It's just a fun little thing for me. I can't even say my family because they don't know or care. So it's really just a fun thing I did that I get to remember.
But I enjoy it literally every time I hear of your name.
Well, wonderful. I think it just makes my name uncomfortably long to say. And I imagine if I didn't have that middle part in there, then people would call me by what they call me whenever I order food or whatever, and that's Sigler. Because Sigler can't possibly be a last name, despite the fact that much more famous people than I have had that last name. So
it's just because you have the face of someone who sings. So they're like, oh, this guy, he's a singler.
Well, to be fair, when I go pick up my food from someplace, I also burst in song when I come in the door. So it's also partially my fault.
I would like my quesadilla, please.
It's when they sing back to you. That's when you really got something special. That's when you get 5 stars on Yelp or Google Maps or whatever. You know what else is getting 5 stars? Well, I don't know about 5 stars, but it's getting a lot of stars. Is this comic we're talking about this week? The comic is Miss Melee. That comic is brought to us by Rob Johnson on writing duties and Ariel Guadalupe as the artist. And this was Steve's pick, so I'm going to let him explain Miss Melee to us.
Sure thing. Miss Melee is one of the... Miss Melee is a comic from a genre that I just love, and that is making fun of superheroes while also being an absolute love letter to superheroes all at the same time. Miss Melee is a superhero forced out of retirement. She's doing the balanced career and family thing, and all of a sudden she gets attacked by Brazilian ninjas. So she has to break out the old costume, protect her family, and decides, you know what, this feels pretty good. I'm going to add this to my list of things to do. Little does she know that her daughter is going to join her in the fray and go to war against the evils of Metrovale or whatever the name of the city is. And yeah, it's just another fun look at comics and superheroes and secret identities and family relationships and stuff like that. I love these kind of stories. I always have, probably always will. And I think this is a dang good addition to the genre.
So, Miss Melee has powers, correct?
Sort of. When you read this comic, you're like, oh, I think Miss Melee is a Batman, but without the budget. And that's definitely a decent analogy. I would actually call her more of a Shang-Chi, where her main power is she's really good at fighting, but sometimes she can punch through walls.
Okay. That's, yeah,
Yeah, kind of a Shang-Chi, Iron Fist kind of thing. Okay. That makes sense. Her daughter doesn't seem to have any powers, so when she is so... she has trepidations about it, but she's a little too cavalier about, sweet, my daughter's going to be with me now. I can teach her the ropes, and she'll be my sidekick. Like, that's like, no, I have superpowers, you don't, so you can't possibly do this. You're going to die.
Well, so,
I've almost died many times. Trust me, it's very easy to die in this profession.
Right. So, a couple things. One, I think her superpower comes from training. Like, I think she could learn to do that. It kind of like with Shang-Chi, it's, his power comes from incredible dedication to study. And the other thing is, she kept putting herself in danger anyway. So at that point, as a parent, I'd be like, you know what? It's safer if I at least know you're going to be there. So I totally understand Miss Melee's parental decision. And I think it was the correct one, given the relationship her daughter had. So, you know what? I'm a big believer of free-reign children, so I think that's the way to embrace it.
It almost sounds like you said free-range children.
No, I didn't say free-range children.
Oh, okay.
What did you think I said? What did you change that to be okay if that's not okay?
Actually, I said free-reign. Like, you know, give them a long rope to, you know.
I mean, that's what free-range children means. It doesn't mean you let them go wild and then eat them. That's chicken.
I mean, that's what free range typically means, so I should be forgiven for thinking otherwise of your parental methods. So I really enjoyed this comic. I think it was largely based on the artwork. I think Ariel does, sorry if it's Ariel or Ariel, I'm not sure, does a great job with the movement. It feels very fluid. And with a comic like this, especially if that's going to be your superpowers, you fight well, you have to fight well. Like, you have to show the fight scenes convincingly, and that is definitely the case here. I think they're very, very kinetic, and outside of Mark, who's a dumb, stupid head, based on how he looks. I hate his look.
You are so prejudiced. You're a horrible person. Just because someone has long greasy hair and a greaser mustache and a greaser beard and works,
he doesn't
in a
have any mustache.
Job.
No. You're giving him too much credit. If he had a mustache, it would be better. It's the giant goatee with no mustache.
Oh yeah,
it's like spiky. He looks like a professional wrestler, and he ain't no professional wrestler. He's a mechanic.
So I'm gonna give him a slide because I used to rock that. It's the massive soul patch. It was an unfortunate decision that I quickly grew out of, but it was the first time I had to show somebody a picture of me, and they're like, "What?" And like, "You're right, I do make poor choices." You should keep reading. Let's put all our cards on the table of how much we've read. I've read everything that's currently up. Jason got to chapter 6. Mark becomes better. Like, I understand where you're coming from, but Mark gets developed a little bit. And you quickly realize he's the smartest of them all.
Okay. And I'm just ragging on him because there's not, you know, a whole lot of people to rag on in this comic. So I saw his facial hair. And like you, I also have wedding pictures of bad facial hair decisions. And my God, I just wish I'd done anything else. It looks so bad, but that's the choices we live with. So we also have Miss Melee, Jan, in her civilian life. She works for a man, Mr. Kang, K-E-N-G. It's hard to say King and not say Kang, which is a totally different character. Who's gaining notoriety as we speak in the comic book world. So King, and he is, again, all cards on the table if you want. He is the big bad. So far, he's the man behind it all, and he has a secret identity. It's fun if you go to the about page. Almost everybody has the dual identity, and it's got the Spider-Man, you know, half face, half Peter Parker look going on for everybody. So show all their secret identities, and you know, has his as the, I mean, he looks like a supervillain. Like, outside of his persona as the supervillain, he looks like a supervillain. Like, he looks like Lex Luthor with a, again, bad facial hair. Give this to Lex Luthor. Outside of when he cloned himself, dude did not have bad facial hair. He had none. He had bald. He just had rocked the supervillain look that would, you know, go on to typify that that career choice, I guess, in comic books for decades to come. But yeah, I as soon as I saw that guy, I'm like, well, you should stop talking to him and telling him your plans, because he's your villain. Like, that's the bad guy you're fighting. So, did you feel the same?
That they were too he was too obviously the bad guy.
I mean, not too obviously, but you picked up you got it before they told you.
Oh yeah, of course. The overrunning theme of the comic, as far as like the superhero tropes go, is the one of the secret identity, and everyone really should be able to tell. Everyone in Jan's life is something. Everyone's a supervillain. Everyone's a superhero. And of course they are. And they're not very well disguised. But you know what? That's the trope. That's the conceit that you have to make to be in the superhero world. Jan's disguise is just the little, you know, Zorro mask. And she puts her hair in a ponytail. And yet, she keeps her secret identity from her daughter, who she's fighting with next the whole time. Of course, that's stupid. That would never work. I would recognize my mom if she had a mask and a ponytail. I'm a pretty perceptive person, I guess. But that's okay. Like, that's the trope of the comic, and that makes the big reveal when it finally happens so much more impactful, so much cooler. And yeah, so, yes, this is the same thing with the bad guy. It's like, yep, that's obviously the bad guy. He looks like a bad guy. He's mean. He's got a mean face. He's got resting supervillain face.
That's a good way to put it. I did pick up on early on, they kind of play with that trope of the, you know, keeping the secret identity. And I think Jan says something to the effect of, can't believe I've done it all these years and they still haven't picked up on it. I must be so good at this. And then the exact same day, she calls her husband honey as she's leaving, and she's is Miss Melee. She calls him honey, and then she calls her daughter by her name. And it's like, you're not good at if every day is like this, they have to have found out by now, because you're terrible at this.
Well, so okay, spoiler warning, I guess. Mark knows he's not stupid. He's a supportive husband who lets his wife think she's good at it. Which is why every time he talks to her about it, he talks about how much she's flirting with him.
Ah.
And
okay.
Jackie,
that's a nice little catch then.
Yeah, and Jackie is a teenager who are notoriously self-absorbed. And so, you know what? I do think a teenager wouldn't know, because they're dumb. Put a mask on and see if I can trick my son.
He's not a teenager yet, is he?
He's 11. He's close.
He's close enough. He's dumb enough. I don't care about age. He's a dumb boy. Watch this. Didn't even see me. Yeah, I agree with all that, and I will read ahead, on to get to Mark's change, kind of, because that does give me a little more respect for him. But even outside of that, it's still, like you said at the beginning, it plays with the tropes, but it's also a love letter to the genre.
Exactly.
And it, I don't remember reading a whole lot of stories where, you know, it was a female superhero and she was a mom and she's trying to have it all, but also be the superhero. And there's an interesting story going on with, you know, the superhero friends that she has, which is interesting as well. I love Osakan Riot.
She's awesome.
I really want her to, I just love that she's like hanging out with her daughters and then, you know, talking on the phone and being like, yeah, no, I should totally put my costume back on and come kick ass with you for the night. Just, I just love that that's her idea of, you know, kicking back for the night and not like, okay, well, get a babysitter because I need to go, you know, get some wine with the gals. It's like, no, I need to put on my costume and go punch some guys in the face. That would be good for me.
You know what I haven't done in a while? Hit someone in the face with a chair. I deserve that.
Yeah, there you go. But that, just the name is just, it almost feels too good for a, an ancillary character. It almost feels like it should be like a spinoff, like its own thing. But yeah, she's great. And, you know, some of the other characters that are introduced, I think it's chapter 5. Basically, the entire chapter is the big fight with the Mega Man looking character. I forget her name.
Saber.
It is here. Yes. Yes. At the beginning of that, right before she actually shows up, you know, the army chief or whatever is showing off the new robots of, this is going to be the wave of the future. This is how we'll fight wars. And I just love that trope of, you know, clearly the giant metal armored thing with a gun for an arm is going to be the good guy.
You never know. Yeah,
that won't be stolen by anybody.
I liked that part because I think all military contracts should be decided by combat. Lockheed Martin and Boeing should send giant mechs to fight to the death, and that's who we spend our budget on, our defense budget.
Honestly, if we still had the president we had before, I don't doubt that that would actually be like Ponfar. That is how we will decide who gets this contract. Toss this giant sword in the middle of this ring. Whoever survives gets the contract.
That is a good callback.
It's a good entertaining venue of entertainment. I'd watch, but I'm also, disgusting in my tastes of entertainment. Overall, on the whole, it's a really fun take on superheroes, on superheroines, and like I said, I think there's really something to love here. Like outside of Jan, like her family, you know, they're trying to help in their own way, and they just want to be a help to either the mom or Miss Melee in the daughter's case, which, you know, of course she would gravitate towards the cool superhero side. Why would you want to be like your mom? Ugh. But no, I want to be like superhero. So there's that aspect, and again, the friends that she has that she occasionally goes fighting crime with, and even the villains have, you know, their own motivations. So there's a lot to like here. And it's a very well done comic book comic.
Yeah, for sure. It's everything about it oozes quality. It's just plain fun. This isn't going to make you think about your life differently or change your opinions about anything or help you grow as a person. But it's going to be fun. And honestly, that's what I read comics for. So this is very much exactly what I'm looking for in a comic. It's done by people who obviously love the genre, love what they do, and you know what? Props to them. They're doing a great job.
Absolutely. Agreed. Check out Miss Melee. It reads very fast, and it's a very quick read, and you'll be wanting more as soon as you finish.
Yeah, I can't wait for what's next. Unfortunately, they are not updating as regularly right now as they were before. They're on a we update when we can schedule, but they are still putting out comics a couple times a month. So definitely worth checking out. I understand that life happens, and so I will not begrudge them for not putting a page out every week, but every page they put out is so good.
Yep, just do what we do. Put it in a feed of some sort, and you'll have it there whenever there's an update. That's what webcomics are good for.
Yup.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Digital Strips. Thank you very much for your support. If you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. One where Steve and I talk about anything and everything under the sun until one of us ruins it for the other. That show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find that podcast on pretty much any podcast platform out there. If you find that and Digital Strips on a platform that gives reviews, we really appreciate those. Those 5-star reviews help us out around here. If you have any comments about this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can also find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
And I personally am at Idahobo.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. My email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. And with that, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I continue to be Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel. Break away, forget your sobriquet, stop dwelling.